Good to see everyone. Although not everyone is here, but for those of you that are here, visitors, and for those that haven't been here for a while, it's good to see you. You know, I was very refreshed from that camp out, but I was extremely tired. I think that night I went home just so encouraged by all the fellowship, encouraged by how everyone worked together, how there was so much respect for one another, and all those things just encouraged my heart so much. But, you know, when I got home, I didn't last long. I soon crashed into bed, and I had a pretty hard night's sleep, which I hadn't had for a while, so I guess that was a blessing, too. If I would ask you this morning, which man is the perfect man with a perfect heart? Or I should say, which man had the perfect heart? The man who had a lot of bad things in his life, but he cried in a broken heart to the Lord. And then there was another man standing beside him. He was really righteous. He looked like he had a perfect heart. He dressed right. I'm sure he smelled right. The other one, who knows what he smelled like? The one that was kind of a scoundrel, was quick to take money from people that wasn't his. But then this other one was so good. He looked good. He dressed right. He said the right words. And we read about that in the Gospels. So if I would ask you which one of those men had the perfect heart before God, which would you say? Which would you say, Dave? Amen. His heart was perfect toward God because of the broken repentance before God. The other one really didn't need to talk to God because he was so right. He was so good. But his heart was not perfect toward God. It was perfect toward himself, but not toward God. So we would call that self-righteousness. You know, there was a lumberjack up in the North Woods, and he was a hard worker. I mean, and he was tough. I mean, you could look through his shirt and his muscles were bulging, and he was running this big chainsaw, and he was swinging an axe, and he had all kinds of energy. But all of a sudden, he had to lay that chainsaw down, and he went like that, and like that, and like that. And they were biting him all over. What do you think that was? In the North Woods, I was up there some years ago, and I got bit all over. Tiny little bugger. And so annoying. What do you think it was?
We call them no-see-ums.
little mosquitoes just everywhere. It's interesting how I was reading this week about the mosquito, and I was kind of grossed out by it, but yet it was very interesting how God made them. But they have these two little things that go in you, and the one puts in like a little blood thinner so to make the blood flow nice, and the other one goes in, and this poor lumberjack, the one really was a gluttonous mosquito. He was huge with blood, and he swatted at him and he missed him. And then for a while he just sat and itched and itched and itched. This tiny little thing stopped this big energetic man from accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish. It slowed him way down, and he was so annoyed, and the welt got huge. Little but mighty can bring down even the strongest. And it's amazing how God created them, and they might be little, but they can do some pretty bad things to us, but it's all in the design of how they survive and how they feed their young and pulling out the blood out of you and me and out of animals. But the only reason why I'm sharing that this morning is because if we use to the glory of God what He's given us and have a perfect heart toward Him, God can do amazing things through our lives. And I was just, God has fearfully and wonderfully made us. And when we give our lives to Him, we might feel like we aren't worth a whole lot. We're not very talented, we're not very gifted. That's beside the point. If your heart is perfect toward God, and I'm not talking about somebody that does everything perfect, you know the difference already, who is perfect and who isn't. I just gave you that example that Jesus gave. Somebody that is broken, humble, repentant, and constantly before the Lord in hunger, and constantly before the Lord willing, honest, sincere. Those kind of things within a man's heart or a woman, David proved to us, are a perfect heart toward God. And, you know, there's a scripture story I'd like to tell you. It's taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, 15, and 16. I think 15 and 16 to be exact. There was a young king. He heard reports of an approaching army. At first, he was very confident. He had spent, and if you read that story, it's pretty amazing. He had spent 10 years preparing his nation for battle, tearing down all the heathen altars, images, high places, and groves. He had commanded the people to seek the Lord and follow His commandments. He built fortified cities and established a standing army of over 500,000 mighty men of valor. But when he approached the battlefield, he was dismayed to face an army of 1,000,000 men with hundreds of chariots. The Bible said that he had only 500,000, and here was an army that he was facing that had over 1,000,000 and many, many hundreds of chariots. And he was terrified when he saw that. He realized that his resources that he had were insufficient. And he cried out to God. "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power," were his words. "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee." I love that. "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." And I'm thinking to myself, that's where that song comes from that I used to sing in a men's group. "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." Oh, I thought, well, that must be where that phrase comes from. But anyway, that was his cry as this army he was facing. He said, "Lord, we don't have the power to overcome, but we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." He recognized that this was God's battle, and God fought for him and for them. The invading army was completely destroyed. Vast amounts of gold, silver, precious things, cattle, sheep, and camels. I mean, they carried away so much wealth from that victorious battle that God gave them. News of the victory spread throughout the land. And it's interesting, as you read that account, it said that people were so impressed with this king and with how he fortified the cities and how they won that powerful battle and the rest and peace that was on that nation, it attracted many people from Israel, and they left Israel where there was so much trouble because of Jeroboam, who was idol worshiping and everything else. And they left, and they wanted to go where there was a safe place. So it's interesting how that attracted many people to come to that country, to Judah. So interesting as you read the story, because in the story, and maybe we will go to it, Second Chronicles. Let's just look at it quickly here. As you read that story, it uses the word that... has anyone guessed who the king is by now? I don't know if a lot of you are that enjoy Old Testament history like I do. I often love to go to the old schoolmaster because it points so many powerful truths of the new covenant to me. But the king, anyone want to take a guess? Just a three-letter name.
Asa.
Thank you, Dave. He started out with a perfect heart. The Bible says his ways were perfect. A perfect heart toward God. And let's read why they called his heart, his ways perfect in 2 Chronicles 15. Let's start in 14. And it says here in verse 2, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places." I mean, he cleaned house. He didn't want any of that among them, corrupted idols worship. And so the high places and images and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, "Let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatah of Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord," I love the words of Asa here, and I pray that we could have that same cry to the Lord, and said, "Lord, is it nothing with thee to help? Whether with many or with them that have no power, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Against this multitude, O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians
were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon, in chapter 15, upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nations was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with a shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole heart. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Macheb, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high priests were not taken away. The high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. It's interesting, you read all of that, and you read that his heart was perfect toward the Lord, but his ending of his life was not so. That's the sad part of the story of Asa. It's interesting that toward the end of his life, he once again was starting to experience war with Israel. And he made an alliance. And he took those very same treasures it was talking about there and gave it to the king of Syria. He said, if you will go fight my enemies for me, I will give you these treasures. So, continuing the story that I had here before me that I was reading to you, he says, this time he took money from the house of God and hired a neighboring army to fight against his enemy. This strategy was successful because they did win the battles. Militarily, it appeared that way. But there was a prophet that came, as you read down through chapter 16, a prophet came and told him, that was very foolish what you did. And it's interesting, his response to the prophet. His response was, it said he went into a rage. Now, isn't that something? A man that his heart was perfect for good most of his reign toward God. But here, when he began to rely not on God anymore, but on his own thinking and on another king and another having other people do things for him, instead of relying on God like he did the first time, it was his response was terrible. There wasn't rejoicing. There wasn't rest. There was nothing but conflict, and there was nothing but a rage and anger that poured out of him. And I just thought, God, that is so much like us. When we begin to trust in our own ability and in our own strengths, and we look to man and we look to things to meet the needs that we have within our lives, our response usually is totally different. It's not wise anymore. James chapter 3 talks about that. It says, when you go to earthly wisdom, there's anger that comes out. Let me just read it to you. We all know the scripture, but it really bears this out very true, what happened here to Asa in his reaction when he was rebuked and reproved for what he had done. Instead of saying, you know, what you're saying is probably true, and instead of responding like King David would respond, King David said, I have sinned against God. Against him only have I sinned, and fallen on his knees and said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for relying in my own strength. But that was not his response. It said he got very angry, and the Bible says that he was filled with rage. Let's just look at James real quick here, and then we'll go on. I just want to read that to you. What happens when we think not with the wisdom of God, only with the wisdom of men? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly. So here he is. He was depending on earthly things, and the only wisdom he had was very earthly. It wasn't beyond the wisdom of men. It was just his own and what men think is wise. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And people, when we have a heart that wants to follow God, and when we have a heart that's sincere, when we have a heart that hungers to serve Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God gives us a different wisdom when those things are within us. The wisdom that is from above comes within our hearts and is first pure, then peaceable. There's rest. Just as it said, Asa, there was rest in the years that his heart was perfect toward God. There was no conflict. There was no wars. There was peace and rest, and people were coming into his country because they felt the peace. They felt the rest. They were attracted to that kind of wisdom, wisdom from above. Easy to be entreated. Well, he was not easy to be entreated when the prophet came to him. He got full of anger and rage. Full of the wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that was so much of Asa's first part of his life, but in the end, it was not that way. He got very angry. It says, and then the prophet went on to tell him, said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have," what? Fighting, war, conflict, just as James said. When you resort to that earthly level, that's what you bring into your life. And that's what Asa brought into his life. And it's interesting. It says Asa got very angry, and then as it goes down through here, excuse me, when it goes down through here, Asa got a sickness, a disease fell on him in his feet and his legs, or mainly his feet, I think. And guess again where he went. You think he went to God like he did when his heart was perfect? No. No, it said that he relied on doctors. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same way. So here he is, angry and throwing people in prison because of his anger, angry at people. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. I was reading down through this story that this man had written about Asa. It says, a prophet warned, "Was not the first army huge? But because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. But now because you have relied on a neighboring army, you have done foolishly. It was God's intention that you conquer the neighboring army also. From this time forth, you will have wars." 3 years later, King Asa faced another test. And it's interesting how God continually tests us where our trust is. And here he faced another test. And when he became diseased in his feet, once again he failed the test. He failed to rely upon the Lord. Instead, he sought only the help of physicians. 2 years later, he died. It is inconceivable that a king would fail to use the resources which had already proven so effective. But those resources required in him a perfect heart. To this king, Asa, these words were spoken: "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him." Just interesting, as I was reading through this, I just wrote a list of the things that flowed from Asa's life when his heart was perfect to the Lord. He was sincere. He lost that. He got a spirit of anger rather than a spirit of sincerity. Well, he may have been sincere in his anger, but it was the wrong kind. He sought God with his whole heart. It says his whole heart and desires he sought God with. That changed. Getting rid of idols, anything that took him away from God, he got rid of. And he found himself resting in the Lord in that time that he went forth. And he said, "God, help us, and we rest in you, and we go forth in your name."
I couldn't help but think of, was it Lily that quoted the verse, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart"? Yeah. Thank you, Lily, for that verse. It says, "Trusting in the Lord with all thine heart." And that's what he did at the beginning. And he did not lean into his own understanding. And in all his ways, he acknowledged the Lord. And somebody that's heart is perfect toward God, that's the flow that comes from his heart. In all his ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Proverbs goes on to say, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be healthy to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Brings forth good health. Not, you know, you can't always say that, but you know, for somebody who rests in the Lord, it's amazing how much rest and no anxiety and worry. Those things affect our lives so much. I often wonder, because of all the conflict and all the things that he began facing, how much it affected his health. But when we rest in the Lord, there's good things that come from that. I just wrote, going forward in the strength of the Lord, that was Asa. His heart was perfect toward the Lord. You know, and my wife and I were discussing that. You know, there's some people say, well, you can't be perfect. No, we can't. It's only in Jesus Christ that we find perfection. We cannot, in our own strength, be perfect. And it's interesting how some of the New Testament scriptures bring that out over and over. And I'll read a couple to you. But a willing servant, that was Asa. But here in the end, he wasn't willing anymore to allow God to fight his battle. No, he had to go to another king and make an alliance with him, give him treasures that were really dedicated to God. So already he was selling himself out and gave those to him to pay him off to go fight his battles for him. Willing servants, honest hearts, sincerity. Those are the things that flow from a person who's in Jesus, truly walking with Jesus. And then I love what Peter says. He quotes almost the same verse, a little different, but almost the same thing in 1 Peter 3 about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Here's what Peter says. Peter says, for the eyes of the Lord, in verse 12 of chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Changes a little bit, but it's the same message. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He's longing to find someone who has a heart toward him. He's longing to find a heart that is surrendered. I love those songs we sang this morning. Fully surrendered, Lord divine, that's a heart toward God. That's a heart that is perfect because of Jesus, and you hunger and you surrender your life to him. I was so thrilled as we sang those songs. I thought, Lord, that message was in my heart before we even sang them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about our sanctification and righteousness, and it's in Jesus only. And, you know, also in Jude, I couldn't help but think of the message that Dave preached from the book of Jude, and how Jude says, and to present us faultless, that's because your heart is perfect toward God. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And because of that, you can be perfect. In all of ourselves, we are far from perfect. We make messes of things all the time. And that's what poor Asa did. He walked away from wisdom that he had before from above, and he resorted to earthly wisdom. But Paul, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 30, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is our wisdom and sanctification and redemption. Just a powerful verse of describing who we are in Christ.
He made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do I hear a hallelujah on that? Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad that I don't have to try to be perfect in this flesh, because I fail miserably, but through Christ, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Philippians also has a powerful verse that I just enjoyed reading as I was studying. I said, Lord, thank you for these powerful verses. Chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in Him. It's very familiar. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. That blesses my heart. It's interesting how he says he looks throughout the whole earth. His eyes run to and fro to find someone who's perfect toward him, that he can show himself what? Strong. You know, when he's within us, it's him who becomes strong, and people see him and they see his strength. They don't see us. It's him that they see. Where's your heart this morning? Where's my heart? Two men. One was so right. The other one was so wrong, but totally two different hearts. Where's yours?